T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the Billiken Sports Network from Learfield, welcome to the Billiken Coaches Show, presented by Edward Jones. Edward Jones is a proud sponsor of Billiken Athletics. Life is a series of moments. Make the most of them with an Edward Jones financial advisor.
Tip, no good. Ball game. Billiken's win. Billiken's win.
Now, the Billiken Basketball Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show. If you were looking for Bob Ramsey, he's away this week. This is Earl Austin Jr. I'll be sitting in for Rammer this week, talking some Billiken basketball for the next hour. But the man is here himself. Billiken's head coach, Travis Ford, will be with us. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, Earl. Great to be here with you. Is Rammer, like, on the beach somewhere?
Yeah, where's
he, chilling.
chilling.
He's, like, getting away from all of getting away from this mess over here. Instead of going to the beach. He's had enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. He'll be back with you this week, of course, as always.
Yeah.
Of course, Coach, plenty to talk about this week. We're in the middle of conference season, obviously. We're at the halfway point, and, we've experienced the ups and downs of conference play in that first half, a 6-game winning streak followed by a little 2-game slide. So what's kind of the mood after, you know, having a lot of success, then 2 tough losses, but then still a lot to play, and we're in second place in the league at this point?
Yeah, I thought, you know, at first I thought Rammer may just put you here after the bad week we had, make you deal with me. But hopefully it's on a better terms next time. It's been a rough week after, like you said, you know, getting off to a 7-1 start and winning a lot of road games and some really good road games and doing it in good fashion and playing pretty good basketball. We, we go to Fordham, and as you saw, you were there with us. It was a big game. I've been going there. I don't know how many times I've been there. I said 8 to 10 times, maybe not quite that many. When I was at UMass, we went there several times. I'd never seen an environment like that, but it was great. That's what you want in college basketball. They were off to a very, very hot start. I think they were 17-4. For 30 minutes, I thought we played terrific. I really did. We were up 8. Things were going well in a tough environment, and I wouldn't say we were playing great, but being up what we were, I felt very, very good about it. And then all of a sudden, we miss a layup to go up 10, and then they come down and get an and one to cut it back to 5, just like that. And then we had a battle on our hands, and then their physicality and their aggressiveness really started bothering us quite a bit. Crowd started getting into it. And we just didn't respond. And, and didn't finish the game we wanted to, and, you know, against a really good team.
You know, over the course of the game, people kind of like to look at what happens at the end of the game, a big play here, a big play there. But something as innocent as, a mislayup, which you can go up to 10 and they get an and one and cut it to 5, from a mental part, when you're dealing with 18 to 21-year-olds, that's kind of big over the course of a 40-minute game, a little sequence like that, isn't it?
It's huge. And you can even go back to the first half where we got, I think Yuri got his second foul at the 7-minute mark, 8-minute mark, whatever it was. That's not a great scenario, especially against a team that is pressuring us as much as they were pressuring us. But we were able to go into the halftime up four. Just mentally being up four, we thought, all right, we're in good shape here. We kind of weathered foul trouble again. We've been in a lot of foul trouble of lately. But, you know, we opened the door for them second half. We had a chance to you know, really increase the margin, but then we gave them an opportunity based on our mistakes. And we opened the door, and they just took advantage of it. And good teams are going to do that, and they're a good team. They're a good team, a veteran team, got good wings, good shooter, got a mismatch four-man that has caused everybody problems, caused us problems. And we just didn't take the margin to where we needed it to at a crucial time.
One of the big bright spots offensively in that game was Francis Okoro. I know he's rebounded well, blocked shots, but he really carried the offense. He had 21 points, maybe his season high, and really showed some good low post play, kind of what we saw late in last season. You're starting to see that kind of Franco emerge a little bit on the offensive end.
That's a good point. You know, it is what we saw a lot last year, this time of year, where he was really tough to stop down low. But, yeah, thank goodness for him because – he kept us in the game in every way, but that's how they were playing us. Right. You know, we needed him to have a big game. He responded. He did that because they're the one guy that they were kind of – they were kind of leaving him open a little bit as far as how they were playing their five and trapping Jury and doing some different things. But, yeah, it was good to see. We just got to get some consistency from Francis and a few other guys as far as – you know, contributing night in and night out, because then we come back in the VCU game and picks up a foul in the first minute, right. You know, and a careless, very careless foul, and just, you know, didn't think he was quite where he needed to be.
Before we move on to VCU, yep. Just like you mentioned, a word about Fordham, to see that atmosphere. What does that mean to the league to see Fordham playing that well, highly regarded young coach, and just Fordham being a factor in the league?
Yeah, you know, it's great for the league. I'd rather be.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, shoot.
But I like the 20-point win.
Yeah, you know but it is good for the league. It's good. You and I talk enough. I do like that. I like when you go to a place and it's packed, and you know it makes it harder, no doubt. But yeah, it's they're you know, they've played with that chip on their shoulder. I think that's, you know, what that team has done, and they've put together a veteran team, and they added the one man at the four. That's been the key. And their coach done a good job, but they kind of play with that chip on their shoulder. They put together the right schedule, yes. No doubt about it. They put together the right schedule, and they won a bunch of games, and they're a really good basketball team. And now they're riding that confidence. They're really riding some confidence, and, you know, and they're legit at this point, yeah.
And before we go VCU, we mentioned that we went to Chicago and Loyola, Davidson and Belk, and then Fordham in New York. We've seen some really experienced some real hostile conference road environments. And for the most part, they've come through, I guess, 3-1 if you count St. Joe. But those last three games, how do you think those kids your kids have responded to what's really been? It's up, knowing that, you know, we're one of the favorites in the league, so we're taking teams' best shot and real good crowds that we're facing.
Yeah, you know, we opened the league road, yes. And St. Joe's was packed. St. Joe's had an incredible crowd on a Saturday afternoon or whatever time the game was. It was packed in there. We go to GW. They have a nice crowd. We win at GW. When we go to Davidson, it's sold out. You know, they announced sellout or whatever it was on national TV, and able to pull one out there. And Loyola was a great environment. So there's been some really good environments that we've been able to go in and play well in. But for whatever reason, Fordham, we just didn't finish the game, you know, and it was all about we got the ball where we wanted offensively. We just didn't finish, and then they started taking us off the dribble on our defensive end, on their offensive end. They started taking us off the dribble, getting some and ones, doing some different things, and we just had a tough time stopping a couple of guys.
Isn't that a big key to basketball now, especially defensively, is, you know, there's a lot of different schemes and everything, but it gets back to, can you stop the ball, keep the ball out of the middle, and that might be for every level. That's a big key, isn't it?
So what it's going to it boil down to, everybody knows each other's offenses. Yeah. You're most likely going to stop the first, second options of any offense that somebody runs. It's going to be, it usually boils down to who could take somebody off the dribble and who's making shots. And, you know, that's, you know, defense has a lot to do with that a lot of times. Sometimes you run up against a team like VCU that, you know, going back and watching tape, defense wasn't too bad. Guy just makes a bunch of really good shots, and that could be the difference in the game. But it does. It boils down to just putting the ball in the hole.
VCU, once again, a packed crowd here at Chaffetz, two first-place teams, and came down to possessions. And like you said, they had a young man who just, Ace Baldwin, really took control offensively, got hot, and they came away with a tight victory.
Yeah, in a high-level game, what an incredible crowd we had, just a great, great environment. And, you know, that hurts worse than anything. And our guys have even talked about it. They just, you know, feel like they left the fans down and students down, things like that. And we felt terrible that we weren't able to come out with the win for a lot of reasons. But, you know, it was a high-level game. Two good basketball teams. You know, again, we have a slight lead at an 8-10 minute mark, whatever it is, and one guy gets hot. We obviously study the tape. What happened was a lot of cross matchups that they took advantage of on the defensive end, and he made some tough shots. And then we rushed some things offensively. It's hindsight's so easy. You know, we took some shots that some guys could maybe make at times. You look back at it and like, oh, I wish we'd ran offense there. Or I wish we'd got four or five more passes rather than advance and just shoot that three. But, you know, some of those guys can make it at times. But we forced some things at the rim, had a few turnovers here and there that fed into especially a team that was scoring at the rate they were scoring at, and we were having a tough time stopping. We kept telling our guys, you know, we're going to have to make them guard a little bit, and we weren't really making them guard long enough to try to fatigue their offense as much as we needed to. So it was a combination of both, really more of our offense, because our offense needed to keep up with our defense wasn't terrible, even though we gave up 37 points to a guy. He made some tough ones.
Yes, he did. Well, we're going to talk a little more VCU and some more Atlantic 10 basketball when we come back from this timeout. You're listening to the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show here in Learfield.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
At the elbow, gives to Forrester, who's got a little man on him. But the help comes, so he finds Jimerson, sidestep, deep three, line drive, bang! He got it! That's three for Jimerson.
Excellent work. We got caught on a switch, the little guard. That time got the bump on Jake, and they tried to double, and Gibson kept moving, and Gibson now with 11 points.
And we're back here at the Chaffetz Arena courtside. It's the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show. Earl Austin sitting in for Bob Ramsey. He'll be back next week, but we're talking it over with the coach, Travis Ford, and that was Gibson Jimerson. He had a season high, team high 20 points Saturday against VCU. And coach, I know Gibson, you've had a lot of responsibility this year, not only guarding top players, his floor game has improved, but it was good to see him, that 3-point shot, him put the ball in the basket again.
I thought he played really well. Obviously, made some tough shots, made some really good shots. And, you know, we're going to need him to score, no doubt. But I think, especially in that 6-game winning streak that we had, I thought he may have played the best basketball he's ever played. He may have scored more points at other times, but he was playing as complete of a basketball player as I've ever seen. I actually, there was some NBA scouts at a couple of the games that actually, you know, were commenting on, does he, you know, wow, he really was impressive defensively, and he was really, you know, passing the ball, and they all know he can score and shoot it and things like that, but you know, when he shows that he can defend as whether it be one-on-one or be a team defender and rebounding the ball, because he can, and we talk about it all the time, he can really rebound the ball when he's focused in on it. But it's made a big difference. I think he has really become a really, really complete player on both sides.
First of all, like you said, you've shown a lot of confidence. You've put him on some pretty big scores, and he's done a pretty credible job of slowing down and making it tough for him.
Yeah, he has.
And GW comes to mind, I believe.
Well, GW, the game that obviously Uri didn't play in, they had at the time one of the most highest scores, one of the higher scores in the country, who was averaging 22 points a game and come off a 30-point game, and Gibson just did an amazing job on a young man, Bishop, yes, is his name, from GW, did an amazing job. And in a lot of games you can say, well, yeah, you know, different guys guarded different. He was actually on him for pretty much the whole game, and was locked in on him. And that when we can get the consistency from that, as well as other guys doing it, it changes our team, and I think we've had a lot of issues this year. We've showed them on film, especially earlier in the year, where we were playing very individualistic defense, where I've got my guy, and that's not going – that won't work. Great teams play great team defense where, yes, you have to stop the guy when your man – whoever's in front of you – as we tell our guys, when you're looking eye to eye somebody, yeah, and they have the ball, it's your job to stop them. But you also have to have team members behind you that have your back, and there's rotations that go into it. There's stunt and jabs that go into it. There's hedges that go into it. And we were not getting that. When we've been at our best, we have done that, and we need to get back doing it.
One thing, when people watch the team on offense, you see people, the ball moving and guys playing as one. You get good shots and you shoot a high percentage. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a good ball. But it's kind of the same on defense, too. It's got to be five guys almost playing as one, much like, they don't have the ball in their hands. It's the same concept, isn't it?
If you're going to have a high-level team, then you have to have that. There's no team that doesn't play team defense. Because eventually somebody's going to get beat in the half court. Defense eventually is about rotations. It's about covering for each other. Very rarely you're just going to keep everybody in front of you the whole time. In today's game, and gosh, it's been like this forever, it seems like, there's going to be a ball screen in every possession. Every single possession, there's going to be a ball screen. When you and I came up, ball screens weren't that huge a deal. But now there's going to be a ball screen or multiple ball screens in every possession. And anytime there's a ball screen, there's two people involved. So from that point on, there's got to be rotations behind the ball, on the ball. There's going to be something that somebody's going to have to rotate. And that, it takes all five guys on the court. And We've shown signs that we can do it. We just got to get people understanding. We got to do that every single second of every single possession and not pick and choose.
I know about a month ago after the game, I know you really wanted to see a little more rim protection around the basket. And it looked like since then I've seen Francis Okoro obviously has taken heed. But then Jake Forrester and even T.J. Hargrove, I mean, we're racking up some pretty good block shot totals, which isn't too bad.
Which was non-existent.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, non-existent. More than any other year, and we've tried to.
Hassan spoiled us for 4 years.
Yeah, that has to do with it. But I was even that we were having a we were kind of understanding that we weren't a great shot blocking team, and it was a concern. We wanted more of them. We didn't want to get out of position, start trying to just block everything. But what was more concerning to us is we don't turn anybody over, which is we kind of know why. We don't need to get into it, but we don't turn anybody over, and that was more concerning than anything. And that's not something we necessarily saw in preseason practice going through that. Wow, we're just not turning anybody over here. And it started adding up, and we started trying to figure out, well, what's different now than later or before, because we've been pretty good at steals and turning people over and playing physical, aggressive, tough defense. But that's just not this team. That's probably not going to be this team for certain reasons. It's not going to be this team.
How about deflections? I know coaches really play a big emphasis on that as far as disrupting teams.
Well, we keep the stat. Obviously, it's probably the lowest I've ever had any team in all my coaching career. Yeah, it's traditionally it's low every single game. Every single game.
So when that happens, does that mean that really puts more, let's say more pressure, but more emphasis on offensive execution and not turning the ball over or giving away tough shots, giving away possessions?
Yeah, we don't have to, I was even talking to our team today a little bit about, we need to, hopefully our defense could create a little more offense. Right. We're not asking you to become a team that's last in steals to become first, but we can do a little better than we're doing. And we showed them different ways again how we can do this. And guys got to develop that kind of mentality a little bit. And that's been that mentality. But you don't have to be a team that turns everybody over to be a good defensive team. But if you're not turning guys over, then Earl, you just said it, you have to be efficient on offense. And we still lead the league in scoring. Right. I mean, but the games we don't score, we don't succeed. And, and it goes back, if you're not going to turn teams over, then you better be a great team, great defensively as a team, a positional team. You got to be a defensive, be in position, position defense. There's all kinds of great, defenders. Some defenders are great because they can hawk the ball. They can heat the ball up. They can get up in the ball. You can still be a good defender and be a positional defender. Maybe you're not a guy that can heat it up, but you're always in the right place at the right time, and you can anticipate and things like that. And that was kind of like how I played. Right. I wasn't going to get out and
Describing Wisconsin.
Yeah, but I was all right, I need to be thinking ahead here. I need to be always make sure I'm in position. And as I told him, I played defense with fear a little bit. The guys I was guarding night in and night out were always quicker, faster, bigger, you name it. So I had, and there's nothing wrong with playing a little bit of fear. Like, all right, you're scared to get beat, so you have to be in the right place. You're scared to be, so you have to be ready on every single possession. We don't quite have that mentality every possession. We need to get that mentality a little bit. But we don't, we've kind of come to grips that we're probably not going to turn teams over a huge amount. So if we know that, then we're going to have to do some other things defensively to get the stops we want. But our defensive numbers are really, really good. I mean, we're holding our opponents to like 40% from the field. It's the games, it's usually our offensive end that we don't execute, and we put ourselves in trouble a little bit with quick shots, turnovers, or whatever it may be.
There were some stretches in that VCU game where it looked, it was like four or five passes. The ball never touched the floor, and it was a wide open three, lob passes, great execution, and it was kind of mouthwatering seeing it sometimes. I think sometimes we had four or five
clips that were, yeah, it's like a clinic.
It's clinic.
That you would teach it.
Unbelievable.
And we told our guys, yeah, it's almost like y'all get tired of doing it. And then all of a sudden, guys will just, and you're like, it's, don't get tired of doing that because you have it in you. You understand.
It shows that the game is easier on you when they do that.
I'm talking about
the kids. It's harder on the defense. They don't want to guard that. They want to guard a lot of ISO probably because they can dig in, I think. But when that ball is moving.
You're using my language now. If you could hear me, I tell we tell our guys all the time, when we start making offense hard is when we start playing poorly. It doesn't mean you're going to score every possession. That's not what it means. But don't make that game hard offensively. You've seen us even sometimes where the shot clock could go all the way down. I can even live with that, you know. But sometimes we make it hard with the shots we take, or we make it hard with some of the drives we make. Don't make the offense hard, especially when you have guys around you that have a strength or so offensively on most nights. But we do. We usually, that is 100% nail on the head when we get in trouble, when we start making offense hard.
And I think, when they move the ball like that, because there was a game where Gibson led the team in assists, and there were other games where we had multiple players, it makes Yuri's job so much easier where he doesn't have to create for a bucket because guys are learning that they can create buckets for them, for other people themselves.
And we do need to relieve some of the pressure off Yuri, no question. When everybody's – and the big thing for us is sharing the ball when you draw help. Don't force a shot when you draw help. If you've drawn help, you've done your job. Now you need to make the next right decision. If the shot clock gets under 8, then, yeah, you got to start making something happen. But if it's not below 8, then if you draw help, make the next right play. Our problem is sometimes we want to shoot it against pressure, or we take a quick, tough one. We've got some guys that have great faith in themselves, and I like that. And, you know, it's just understanding time and score, which we've been talking a lot about, and things like that. But, yeah, when we make the game and we make the offensive end hard, then we get in trouble.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little more Billiken basketball. We're going to take our second time out here. We're talking it over with Travis Ford, Earl Austin Jr. We're courtside here at Chaffetz Arena. It's the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show on Learfield.
Down three now. 47-44 are the Billikens. Around the screen, Collins. Got in deep. Goes to the hole. Scoops it out for the jam. Forrester! What a play by Yuri Collins.
Well, Yuri just improvised in midair and take the recipient for a big dunk.
Bills cut it to one.
Welcome back to Chaffetz Arena. It's the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show. Earl Austin Jr. sitting in for the Rammer tonight, talking it over with head coach Travis Ford of the Billikens. That was Jake Forrester, our 6'9 center. A very nice addition to the program, coach. And he's really played well, especially in conference play.
Yeah, he really played well, I thought, in stretches the other night, especially when you had Francis who got in early foul trouble. And you know, we've been a little bit fortunate in that position to an extent that when one guy doesn't play well on a particular night, the other one kind of has stepped it up, and it's been kind of vice versa. What we told him, we're looking for when y'all both got it rocking and rolling. we're looking for when you get in there, you're defending, rebounding, and, you know, staying out of foul trouble by being in position, and you're finishing shots around the rim. And but we have been, you know, we've been a little bit fortunate, at least that one of them has seemed to step it up a little bit. But what happens too, though, if again one of them gets in early foul trouble and the other one has to play a long stretch of minutes, it becomes a little bit more difficult, and then mistakes start to creep in a little bit. So if we could keep them both out of foul trouble, then I think we'll get obviously a lot more production out of both of them.
It looked like a more assertive Jake. He went back home to Philly, and he had that big game, and he's throwing down tip dunks, SportsCenter, ESPN style, and he's hitting jumpers and throwing that. Just looks like a more sort of more forceful type, like Francis does. That's what Jake is doing. Just
You know, it's in Jake. Jake definitely has it in him. Jake actually understands the game. He really understands the game of basketball, has a good feel for the game, does a great job of helping execute our offense when he has the ball in his hands, and we run some things through the five, some of our offense. Has a great knack around the rim, catching balls, finishing them, different things like that. Where Francis is more of a high-level defender, rebounder above the rim. Francis scores probably in the low post really well. So they both kind of have their strengths to an extent. But I agree, when Jake is locked in, playing with great energy, focused on the next play, how can I just be a positive influence? It's amazing how good things happen.
Absolutely. Also, you mentioned one thing I want to get into, foul trouble. We've experienced some of that in the first half, and it kind of gets part into the philosophical thing. We've had a lot of experience of getting guys with two fouls, multiple guys with two fouls, kind of like fouling or not fouling up three that late right. in the game. How do you kind of balance that? Do you kind of see how the game goes? And like I said, you have to make that call several times in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've been in some serious, serious foul trouble. Davidson, gosh, we felt like we had the whole starting five over on the bench for a long period of time because of foul trouble. We kind of withstood that a little bit, and we ran into it again at Fordham, and it's been quite a few times. You know, my rule has always been, you know, you get two fouls, you're coming out. But, you know, will I put a guy back in with two? Yes, I've done that before. If I feel like we can't get through the half and the game might be getting out of hand and that person is that important, then, yeah, we might need to go back with them because you never really want the game to get out of hand, hopefully, with guys sitting on the bench. So if you can stay in the game, then what it does is if you can get out of the half with just two, it allows your team to be a little more aggressive the second half. If you're going into second half and a guy, you put them back in, they get three, which could happen, then you're going to play the next probably the next 10 to 12 minutes. That player is probably not going to be able to be very aggressive if he already has three, because as soon as he gets four, he's got to come out.
Right.
So, you know, again, there's all kinds of reasons, and I've been doing this a long time. You know, there's reasons you do it, and there's reasons you sometimes had to play with two.
And kind of give credit to this young man who has stepped up in those situations, Larry Hughes Jr. There have been games when Uri's picked up two fouls and obviously no Fred Thatch to go to out with the injury. You've had to go to Larry, a freshman, and he's really responded in those situations. And on the road most of the time, he's done some nice things while Uri, you know, is sitting with the two fouls.
We couldn't be more pleased, and we're extremely high on Larry. Larry does a lot of things really well. He obviously can make shots. He can handle the ball. He totally understands our offense. He gets it. He knows, you know, all the actions. He's worked himself into a really good defender. Even from day one, we saw that, which was probably a surprise as far as how we thought it was over time he could. But even from day one, he really took the initiative to prove that I can defend. And he did it, you know, from first day of practice. He's playing really, really well, especially, you know, with Fred going down. That, you know, Fred handled the ball a lot for us and guarded him, and Uri would always guard the kind of the best two players on the other team on the wing position. And Larry has kind of taken over that role a little bit. You know, we probably need to get him in there a little bit more for his defense, even more than for his offense.
With length, really.
His length does well. He's a competitor. You know, he's a competitor, which I really love. He wants to do well. You know, it also gives us another guy that can kind of get around somebody.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of guys that are going to get around people, and he can get around people. But, he's done a really, really good job.
course, we talked about the outside of the show. Talk about the conference itself. You know, despite the a lot of doom and gloom right now, but the Billikens are sitting second place by themselves in the Atlantic 10.
One game out of first, whatever it is.
A lot of basketball to play as well. So where do you kind of see things right now? I know we'd love to be in first place, obviously, but where do you, you know, it's still half the season ago.
You know, there's no question. You know, we're disappointed in the losses, and you know, no different than anybody else. And like I said, I'd love to be sitting here 25-0 or whatever it is. It would be great. But I still think we have our best in us. You know, I think this league, you know, obviously VCU's at the top right now, and the win here obviously was big, and they won at Dayton, which was big. So they probably have a leg up on everybody, but still I think anybody that's still in the top five or six still has a chance to possibly win the league and finish near the top. And that's, you know, and we're not even, I'll be honest with you, we haven't even talked to our team about it. That's not what it's about. At this point, it's an 8-game schedule, and we got to figure out how to get to 1-0. Here tomorrow night, and that's what we need to do. We need to worry about ourselves every individual game, because we've just been too inconsistent game by game a little bit. You know, we just need not worry about where you're at in the standings. Worry about how hard you're playing and the intent you're playing with, and how well are we playing together, and put everything we have into each and every game, and then see what happens. So, you know, we know we have some very difficult games, probably the toughest part of our schedule coming up, no doubt about it.
Big week starts tomorrow night. Rhode Island Rams come to town.
Playing their best basketball of the year. It's easy to say they've won two of their last three games. Have some really veteran players on their team that have been in this league for a while, and really good one-on-one team. Obviously, Archie's going to have them playing hard, things like that, and been impressed with them, watching them on tape. You know, beat Dayton at home, and that's obviously a good win. And they're playing their best basketball. We're going to have to play really well. We're going to have to play well for 40 minutes. We can't play, you know, in stretches or in spurts. We're going to have to play a complete game.
Look like they had some guard play, Leggett, Freeman, and
proven players in this league. Leggett has been in this league for a while and has been a starter, and been started for Rhode Island for a while, and Freeman was a great player for GW last year, so they've been in the league. And then you got Carey, who's been there, and you got Martin, and you know, you got some really good players on this team.
And I just said Archie's he's proven, he's done it in this league, so you know he's going to have his team playing their best at this time of the season.
Yeah, no question, hard-nosed, and you know, and out to prove something every night, different things like that. So every game presents different challenges, and no different. This is a hard-playing, hard-nosed team we're going against tomorrow night. Really, really good one-on-one. Really, really good guards, 1 through 4. Going to play kind of 4-type guards. So, going to have to play well.
And of course, you know, it's coach's taboo. You don't look ahead to the next game, but the following Friday, on Friday, we visit Dayton, make our annual visit. Obviously, the league favorite, another great challenge on our hands as well, and always a great atmosphere at UD Arena.
Yeah, you know that. You know what you're walking into. And, you know, obviously, like you said, you know, an ultra, ultra talented, deep basketball team, one of the bigger teams in the country. They're big, long. Have an NBA center, you know, great player in home. So yeah, they're a great team that obviously are always very, very good there.
Obviously you watch a lot of basketball, you know, you're scouting teams. Do you get a chance to sit and watch A-10 games as they're on, you know, or you're just locked in scouting that your next opponent?
Yeah, you know, you get glimpses. Maybe when you're at home or something, but not as much. I don't, for certain reasons, because I'm watching our opponent all day long. And as I'm watching my opponent, they're playing another opponent in our league, so you catch them. But I don't go home if there's a game that we don't play those two for. I'd rather not watch that. I just try to stay focused on that team and not worry about, you know, all that.
Just leave it to us crazy fans to do that.
I literally – you know, we've talked about this a lot. I a lot of times don't even know who we're playing next. I really don't. I don't pay a conference schedule. I try to just put everything I have into the next game. And we have obviously a whole scouting crew that the coaches that put are preparing for every game, three games, four games out. But yeah, you know, I don't. I can watch some other games right. More than I watch a lot of NBA. I love watching the NBA. I watch a lot of that.
Of course, like the people say things about our league this year, but it's not an easy game in the A-10. It just isn't. Loyola took Dayton to overtime in Dayton last week. It just shows, still from top to bottom when you get in the league play.
You expect
a tough game.
There's no denying we haven't had right. You know a great year as far as you know total bunch of teams with high level wins and low losses. There's a few and you know things like that, but. But you can't deny the level of competition, you know, and what I mean by that to an extent, because everybody likes to equate everything to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Or, you know, one or two big, you know, who knows what's going to happen from that point. But if you ask anybody across the country, would they want to play Dayton? Would they want to play us? Would they want to play VCU? Would they want to play St. Bonnie's or Fordham?
Yeah.
You know, and now that hasn't equated to night in and night out, but, you know, it is. It's a very tough league. No matter what anybody, you know, the national scene is or what it looks like NCAA tournament-wise and all that, again, I've been doing this for a living for a while. This is a tough league, tough places to go play, really difficult places to go play. And, you know, when I watch teams, I can tell who's, you know, all right, that's a good basketball team. You know, maybe they're not in the NCAA bracketology right now, but I'm looking at them and saying, I did that with Fordham before we went in there. And I didn't know much about Fordham. Like, oh, they as soon as I watched the first game, I'm like, this team's legit. They're really, really good. No, but who, you know, they can win any game they're going to play. But yeah, A-10 is, it's from top to bottom, I think, is probably pretty balanced right now.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our final break of the evening. We're talking it over with Coach Travis Ford. And we're going to, on our final comments, we're going to get his prediction for that big game on Sunday evening. It's not basketball. This is the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show on Learfield.
Entry pass. He's got Johns against Urie, stripped by Collins. Jumped in on the big man. They get it to Perkins. Perkins on the right wing, wants a three.
Okay.
Bang, he got it!
Points off turnovers. Once again, Urie with the strip. Javonte dribbled right into the rhythm of the wing jumper from three, and the Billikens go back in front.
44-42.
Back with our final moments with Coach Travis Ford on the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show. Remember, the Billikens host Rhode Island right here at Chaffetz. 8 p.m. start, a late start, 8 p.m. Let's have another big crowd. And I know, Coach, I know you're very appreciative. We had a sellout
crowd.
Yeah,
you know, we've had a bunch of really good, great crowds this year, great crowds. Right now, we're second in the league in attendance, which it's usually always Dayton. Dayton's always going to lead. They're going to get 18,000 every night, but it's usually VCU and then us or whatever. We're second in attendance right now, and I couldn't. You know, I know we've had a bunch of great crowds, and I know our fans left disappointed and frustrated in the last one. I get it. I understand it. I don't blame you for being disappointed and frustrated. No question. And different things. But, you know, I was Saturday night sitting around when I ended up ordering a pizza from Dewey's Pizza, and you got to go pick it up, and went there, walked in, had my hat on, hat down, everything, and just kind of standing there trying to – You know, trying to hide as much as you can almost when you lose. It's never any fun. But a guy recognized me, and he came over and he said, "Coach, I hate to bother you, but I just want to tell you, we're behind you all the way." Yeah, we're disappointed. We're disappointed. We wish we would have won the other night. He said, "My family and I were there. We come to most all the games, and you know, we wish. You know, we." We're behind you all the way. We're going to be there the next game, and we're going to fight for you. I appreciate that. I don't expect the fans to be happy. You know, we've lost and done some things, but boy, we need the support to get this thing finish here hopefully strong with the season. And, you know, we got 8 games left overall in the regular season here. We just need, you know, the great Billiken fans to continue to come out and support these guys. And, you know, as we talk about, I get to hear pretty early every single morning, and I come to help this program and help these young men in that locker room win games and try to win games for these fans. We're putting everything we have into it, and we want to do better. We want to win as many games as they want to win, and but we always need their support the next one. Be frustrated, be disappointed in that game and whatever game if we don't win, but we sure need your help the next one.
Absolutely. And final word from Travis. Who's going to win this game on Sunday? Who are you thinking?
I'm going for the Chiefs. I'm going for the Chiefs. I don't really have a dog in either one of them. My daughter and her boyfriend are big Chiefs fan. They actually went to the last Chiefs playoff game and different things like that. So I pull for them because I like to see them excited and having fun and things like that. And I am a Mahomes fan. I like to watch him play. I like enjoy watching him play and how he plays the game reckless and taking chances and doing some things. So I'll go for the Chiefs, I guess.
Me too. I'm rolling with Showtime. Well, before we wrap it up here, we'd like to say thank you, Coach Travis Ford. Look forward to tomorrow night. Thank
you for joining us. 8 o'clock game tomorrow night. 8 o'clock game against Rhode Island tomorrow night.
8 o'clock here at the Chaffetz Arena. The Rhode Island Rams will take on the Billikens, and then we'll be hitting the road Friday night to take on the Dayton Flyers. Of course, you can hear all the action with yours truly and my man Bob Ramsey, Billiken Hall of Famer, right here on KMOX. So that's going to wrap up. Once again, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, just like the coach. So that's going to wrap up another Billiken Basketball Coaches Show. Bob Ramsey will be back here next week. And for my man James Jackson, engineering, Travis Ford, this is Earl Austin Jr. saying so long, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow right here at Chaffetz at 8 o'clock against the Rhode Island Rams. This has been the Billiken Basketball Coaches Show on Learfield.
On the Billiken Sports Network from Learfield. This has been the Billiken Coaches Show, presented by Edward Jones. Edward Jones is a proud sponsor of Billiken Athletics. Life is a series of moments. Make the most of them with an Edward Jones financial advisor. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Billiken Sports Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.